Hey y'all, it's Danny B from the Black Diva Daily Podcast, here to inspire you with your daily dose of Black Girl Magic. This podcast highlights Black female bloggers that generate inspiring work and encourages all Black women to live their best life. So continue to tune in Monday through Friday so that you can get your life on the daily. It's Women Within Wednesday, episode 98 of the Black Diva Daily Podcast. On Wednesdays, we hold up our mental mirror and focus within. Today's post is titled, An Honest Conversation, It's Time to Pull Up. Racism, the Deafening Silence, and Your Responsibility to Pull Up. By Leticia of blushingblack.com. It took me a while to gather the words and energy to write this post. Actually, it took over 3 weeks. I said I would write it and then I talked myself out of it. I truly believe in living by not speaking unless I have my words together and not to speak out of anger. So it was important to honor that for myself. It wasn't until a few days ago that I had the strength to type the words that made sense. While the human emotions are as raw as they were on day one, I'm at a point where I can collect words that make sense and not toss my computer across the room or rant and ramble. I can speak from a place of experience, wisdom, and as a Black woman in this country. This post is going to be longer than my typical posts you'll find written previously. It's going to educate you. It's going to give you a deeper look into who I am as a Black woman from my experiences. It's going to make you uncomfortable. If you're white, I'm inviting you to the table to have this conversation. I ask that you sit and listen. I ask that you stay open and stay with me. I ask that you sit for the hard parts and digest it. If you're in, I mean all in. Let's set some boundaries for this combo. This is written from my experience, period. Not here for the tone policing. I wrote it. I said it. Not here to add extra spoons of honey to the words to make it taste better. If it pains you to read it, keep reading anyway. It pains me to write it and I live it daily. What I'm about to share is as real as it gets and as raw as it gets. Whether it sounds hard or not, this is going to be uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Before you take a stand, you must first have a seat. If you're still muted and your heart is open, let's chat. When the news broke about George Floyd, I shook my head and kept scrolling. Again, I thought, nah, not again. I saw the pain and anguish on his face as the header image, and that was enough for me to immediately shut down. Shut down like unplugging all of the cords in a data room that helps keep everything functioning. I pray every year not to have to endure another killing of a Black person. Yet, here we are again. After the last again, you hope and pray that this would be it. Nope. As news continued to unfold, something was triggered within me like never before, and I lost it. The rage I felt is one I felt before, time and time again, but I never allow myself to feel it. That stinking feeling in the back of your throat as you fight back tears that makes you want to swing at the air like Trey in the movie Boys in the Hood came circling back. I felt this rage before with Eric Garner, Philando Castile, Trayvon Martin, and countless others, but this one struck in a different way. And each and every incident stops me in my tracks, leaving me breathless, crying, and I swallow that pain down as a Black woman, and I keep it moving. I don't talk about it in depth. I get mad, but I don't feel it anymore. Not this time. Between Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, that was enough. George Floyd tipped it over the edge, and everything I had ever stuffed in my own personal life to mourning the unnecessary deaths sent me to deal with a cloud of suppressed emotions. Lessons I'm learning, equipping my children while giving myself grace. So here I am, a woman who has all this rage and anger in a moment of tension all around. COVID-19 is disproportionately affecting the Black community at an alarming rate. We've been home for months and now more racism to deal with. Yet, I have to be a model for my children, a godly model. I have two girls who look to me in every situation for what to do for everything and having it together. How do I model this well without tainting them with my anger? In certain situations, I would try to temper my tears so they wouldn't know anything, because children don't have to be exposed to every single thing. But let's be honest though, kids know when something is wrong with their parents. My oldest could tell that something has been off with me. This time, instead of pretending to have it all together, I decided to be honest and explain my sadness to my 5-year-old so that she could understand it in a kid form. That I was sad and hurt about Black people having their lives taken for no reason. I told her I was going to talk to her a little bit more about it where she could understand it fully, and when I could articulate it well enough for her. She may not have had the details, but it was the truth. It was the beginning of a lifelong conversation that as a Black mother, you know you have to have with your children. So on top of getting the truth, she could also see that mommy doesn't have to be strong every day and allowing myself to process this pain. The strong Black woman stereotype, which declares that we are strong, indestructible, and can save the world, is causing Black women more stress and adverse health conditions. And I'm tired of it. The cycle is stopping with me. It's going to take some time and work on my end, and I'm still working and giving myself grace. Meeting with my therapist, talking to trusted sources. I'm still pouring in myself with God's love and word, but I'm also educating myself and equipping myself so I can understand how to navigate this entire thing better. This season is not by accident. It's for a purpose and reason, and I'm determined to be better coming out of it. While others are too scared and want to shelter their kids from the world, as a Black parent, this is our reality, and the conversations begin early for survival. We want innocence too. We want our children to be children as long as possible. However, the average age that a Black child will encounter racism is around the ages of 3 to 4. So sheltering is out the window for us. It's important for my children to see how to interact with people, how I speak about people who don't look like us, how I speak about people behind closed doors, who I invite into our home and do life with, how to model kindness, love, and godliness I want to see in the world that ignores and hates me before I could ever utter a word because of my melanated skin. I can tell my kids all day to do something, but it's not enough to tell them to do as you say, but do as you do. Always remember, I've listened to family members talk about going to segregated schools, which wasn't that long ago. As a child, my mother and I were followed around in stores many times. I was taught to always get your items bagged and a receipt just in case someone thought you were stealing. If you were ever stopped by the police, here's what you do. Don't be too threatening. Yes, sir. No, sir. Don't move too fast. Look people in the eye. Code switch because you don't want to sound too Black. Don't be too animated. Calm down the curls and the head wraps. It's too much. Smile. Make sure you smile so you can seem less threatening and pleasant. Blog about the things that people will want to read. Enunciate your words when speaking. Don't be too loud. Never be angry. Work harder than everyone in the room. Can't take a break. Never look lazy, and never be comfortable. While I'm proclaiming to teach my children about how to be their authentic selves, I have to put a mask on every single day for survival. After you've chipped away at your authentic self long enough, or have someone find fault with said authenticity, rebuilding takes intentionality, more energy and effort than you can imagine. Tired yet? Me too. Keep reading. If you're still reading, great. I'm glad. I had so much more typed out, but frankly, I'm tired of typing this. Tired of pretending. Tired of stuffing my existence to make space for others who are uncomfortable. Tired of not being able to talk about race because it's not the polite thing to do. Tired of the silence. Tired of listening to the talks and messages from the 60s and still applying it today. Keeping this scripture close to my heart, and let us not be weary in doing well. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. From a black square to action. If you proclaim that you were on board with helping to dismantle racism or tired of it too, and our kids deserve better, awesome. Buckle up. There's hundreds of years of work to be done. And if you're a white person, this work is lifelong. Tackling racism isn't done in one short conversation or taunting that you have black friends and are nice to black people. It's not a nice versus mean people issue. While you may understand oppression from a classism perspective, it's still not the same as racism. Your privilege will always cover you in areas where I wouldn't be considered, regardless of class. If you have black friends, here's a tip. Don't ask what you can do anymore. If you were diagnosed with a rare form of a disease and your doctor wasn't able to give you full details of it, you would immediately go home and research it. You would join threads and boards to talk to people with that same rare disease to understand it fully. You would immerse yourself with educating yourself so you could be articulate when speaking about that rare disease. Understanding racism is no different. If you have black friends and you do life together, which is key, you should be having these conversations. It's not going to be easy, but the more you do it, the less taboo the subject becomes. Just be aware that if your black friends are not in a space to speak about it, or they set a boundary, please honor it. Everyone may not be in a space to discuss it at this time. This is trauma we're dealing with as deep as on a molecular level. There are countless resources written by black and white people that are available to you to equip you to understanding it. The days of letting guilt make you apologize over and over for what my ancestors did or simply not take any action are over. If you're taking the stand, that means doing the work consistently on your own and committing to it, especially if you do life with black people. This is not their issue, it's yours. Where do I start? I highly recommend starting here with a book called White Fragility: Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. If you take one tool from this entire post, please take this. This is the book where you are looking for. This is it. As a black woman, I took the time to read this, and it's written by Robin DiAngelo, a white woman, who breaks down every single detail about racism and what white fragility is, and it's absolutely spot on. She tackles the following. What exactly is racism? Is reverse racism real? Is racism simply good people versus bad people? Do you think racism means old, white, southern, and out of touch with the new ways of doing things? If you have black friends and do life with black people, can you be racist? What is white privilege? Do you have it? Why do white people automatically get defensive when speaking about race? Why does everyone pull from the same exact script when racial incidents happen? Do you see race as an issue, as a concern that you need to be involved with? Or is that just a problem for the people of color? If your kids say something racist, do you shush them or do you step in to correct them? You know how to correct them, right? D'Angelo says she encounters a lot of certitude from white people. They insist, well, it's not me, or say, I'm doing my best. What do you want from me? She defines this as white fragility, the inability of white people to tolerate racial stress. This, she says, leads to white people weaponizing their hurt feelings and being indignant and defensive when confronted with racial inequality and injustice. This creates a climate where The suggestion or accusation of racism causes more outrage among white people than the racism itself. And if nobody is racist, she asks, why is racism still America's biggest problem? What are the white people afraid they will be losing by listening? What is so threatening about humility on this topic? What's next? My hope and prayer through this season of heavy hearts is that this time we can begin the journey of dismantling the roots of racism so history will stop repeating itself. Racism is not just mean, out of touch people. It's deeper than that. Whether you've been woke from birth or waking up to the experiences of racism in America, it's a journey we're all on. If you're ever wondering if things will get better in the world, it will. As Rihanna so eloquently put it, pull up. It's time to educate yourselves and start doing this work too. It all has to start with you. You've just listened to the post titled, An Honest Conversation, It's Time to Pull Up, by Leticia of blushingblack.com. If this episode left you inspired, please review, subscribe, and tune in tomorrow. Love ya. If there's a topic that you'd like to learn more about, email us at info@blackdivadaily.com.